By the service, the Sunday school lesson, and the devotions, I feel like what I want to share goes right along with a lot of the thoughts that were already shared. It's nothing new. The title of the message is A Good Soldier of Jesus Christ. So probably most of you have had the question asked to you at some point in life, are you a Christian? And that's a very personal question. Are you a Christian? And you probably have asked other people that in evangelizing. You asked them, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. I trust that everyone that is of the age of accountability here this morning is a Christian, can state that. But what does it mean to be a Christian? And we already looked at some of those things this morning. But I want to focus today on being a soldier of Jesus Christ. And so I'm presenting this morning that if you have accepted Jesus into your heart and you are a Christian, you have enlisted in the army of God. You're enrolled in God's army. Your name is on the registry. You know, the United States government or army has a registry. It has everyone's name. If you have registered at the age of 18, your name is on the registry. I don't know how many different registries they have. Perhaps they have a registry with everyone that's 18 years old to, what is it, 20-some? 25 or whatever that age is. And then I'm sure they have a registry that has all active soldiers. All active soldiers. And so this morning, if you're a Christian, your name is on the registry as a soldier of Jesus Christ. You have enlisted into his army. And this means to sign on. And it really indicates a commitment and a support. To enlist individuals means to secure the support and aid of and to employ an advancing interest. It speaks loudly of commitment, like I said, and allegiance to a certain cause. Now, I can't imagine this morning if I lived in Ukraine or Russia where there's an active war going on, to walk into that office and to enlist in the army. And you know very well that you're going to be sent directly to the conflict. How that would feel. That's a strong commitment of placing your life for a cause. And many of those never return home. But this morning, as a Christian, I think God is expecting the same level of commitment as we give our hearts to Jesus, that we are committed to the cause, to represent Jesus and his kingdom in this world. And we want to look at some of the aspects of that. We know that today the Word of God is under attack on many fronts. You have those who have been raised in Christian homes that are challenging God's word. That was sort of brought up already in the service today. They are challenging God's standard of holiness and separation from the world. And they're hearing voices that are telling them that you don't really have to live a separated life. You don't really have to be different than the world. And so... we face that from within. And then you also have those who don't believe in God. Atheists and agnostics. It says there is no God and no absolute truth. This spring when we were up in New York City with New York for Jesus, I talked to a young lady. Her name was Lexi. And she said she had grown up in South Africa and had moved to the city. And she told me that she doesn't believe in any set absolutes. She don't believe in any set absolutes. She said, life is whatever you choose to believe. And so you will meet up with people like that in life. They don't believe in God. They're atheists. At least they say they don't believe in God. An agnostic is a person who has an uncertain or non-committal attitude toward God or truth. They would say truth is whatever you choose to believe. And that is nothing, It's not solid. It's fluid. It's whatever. It might be one thing one day and something else the next day. So it can be swayed. And then you have others who look at Christians and they say that they're they call us racist because we don't accept or we can't condone their lifestyle. You think of the transgender people and those who have alternate lifestyles. And yes, we love them because Christ loves them, but we cannot endorse their wicked lifestyle. And so I'm just thinking of different aspects. As a Christian, we're in this, we're soldiers, and we face battles from within and from without, those we meet. I had to think about the men of Israel who were fighting, was it the Amorites? And David's brothers were out there on the battlefield, and they were fighting. And David's dad said, David, I want you to, the little shepherd boy David, he said, take some food out for your brothers. And when his brothers saw him coming, they said, oh, you're just a little mischievous David. You just came out here to see what's going on. And David, he took in the whole scene. He saw Goliath come out and challenge. He cursed the armies of God. And I just am so impressed with David's response when he took this all in. He said, is there not a cause? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? God, help us to defend truth in our day. Is there not a cause? Are we going to stand up as soldiers for Jesus Christ and fight for truth and righteousness and represent it and not be ashamed of it as we live our lives, as you live your lives? It's like you were talking about, your testimony here in this community. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. And we'll look at some more aspects of that. You know, people may ask you who you are, and you're like, well, I'm a Mennonite, and I go to this church down here at the corner, and that's good, but we're followers of Jesus, and we are here to represent him and defend truth. And then also, I want to think a little bit about the battles that we fight from within. You know, Satan is attempting to destroy God's people, God's kingdom, any way he can. And he brings battles into our own lives. I'm sure we each can identify with that. Personal battles. And I'd just like to read a couple verses in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5. Talking about the battles that we face, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He's saying that we're not fighting a physical warfare, a carnal warfare. You know, our weaponry is not guns and tanks and missiles, but it's a spiritual war. Three things that you can notice here. The first thing is, this is not a carnal warfare, but a spiritual one. And so Satan can attack the church from without, and he can attack us individually from within. But in verse 4, he says that our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Our weapons are powerful enough to overcome strongholds and to experience victory in our Christian lives. And I praise God for that this morning. Verse 5 goes on to say, whether there be arguments or pretensions against God, our thoughts, they need to be brought into subjection. So, each of us individually, whatever those battles are that we're facing personally, the battles that Satan is attacking us with, let's be strong and by God's grace we can overcome them. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and God gives us the victory. So this morning I want to just look at qualities of a good soldier and look at what it means to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You can turn with me to 2 Timothy 2 for a few verses. The first quality of a good soldier is he is a follower of Jesus. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 4. Thou therefore, my son, this is Paul talking to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit it to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. The first point, like I said, is the quality of a good soldier is a follower of Jesus. Verse 3 says a good soldier of Jesus Christ implies relationship. We are a soldier of Jesus Christ. We are not in charge of the battle, but we are actually following Jesus. We're one of his soldiers. In the beginning, I mentioned as Christians, we have enlisted in God's army, and that's the camp that we belong to. That's the camp that we identify with and support. We are followers of Jesus. Also, a good soldier of Jesus Christ implies rank. Like I said, we are following Jesus. He is our leader, and we take orders from him. And I think that's very important because it takes a humble heart. It takes someone that is submitted to take orders from someone else. We are not the sergeant. We are not the general that calls the shots, but we are Christ followers, and we listen to his direction. And we'll look at that some more. Jesus' words to his own disciples. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. There again, we have the thought of following Jesus. Three things here this verse brings out. We need to deny ourselves. We give up the right to be in charge of our life. Jesus is our commander-in-chief, and we take our orders from him. It also talks about taking up our cross. And that has the thought of identifying with Christ and crucifying ourselves. To take up my cross daily, like the Bible talks about, will probably be different for each one of us as we go through life. Your cross that Jesus calls you to bear and the cross that Jesus calls me to bear may look much different. But whatever that cross is, let's be willing to take up our cross, lay down our own personal agendas, our own personal ambitions, and accept what the cross is for us. And to follow Jesus as a good soldier is only possible as we do these first two, as we deny ourselves and take up our cross. Am I a good soldier? Do I know how to take orders from my leader, Jesus? Am I a good follower? And that's some questions that we need to ask ourselves. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. He understood the importance of being a good follower of Jesus. The second point I have, qualities of a good soldier, is a faithful soldier. There in verse 3 and 4, it said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, as humankind, we shrink away from this thought of hardness, don't we? Hardness. Endure hardness. You know, when we face hard things in life, we like to look for an alternative, some way that we can get out around it. But hardness is good for us. Hardness helps us to learn to be able to endure. And that's why that young men and women that enlist in the army, they're put through basic training, and they put them through very strenuous training to help them to learn to endure hardness. almost to the breaking point. You can read stories. I've read already stories about hard training. They have to run for miles, and then they'll have to scale walls, and maybe they'll have to. Recently, I saw a picture of these recruits, and they had taken an army vehicle and they had laid it on its side, and then they had hooked a rope, several ropes to the vehicle and to a whole group of men, and they had to work as a team, and they would run a little bit and got a little momentum, and then they would go again, and finally they worked hard enough to pull this vehicle back over on its side just by manpower. And there'd be many more things that they do, I'm sure, to teach them to endure hardness. They must endure intense physical workouts to get in shape, to endure hardness. It made me think also in the summertime, the Bible study brings the Monday night boys up here to Pine Grove for a few days to camp. And they do an obstacle course. And some of you are more familiar with that. Jeremy's are involved with that. But those boys will belly crawl through tunnels. They will swim across the lake. They will scale a wall. And the only way you can scale the wall is if someone's at the top. So when one fellow gets up across and he helps the next fellow, he reaches down, helps the next fellow scale up across. And it's some very enduring, strenuous activities. I'm sure I wouldn't make out too good with some of those. Enduring, we're talking about enduring hardness. You know, Christ puts us through some of these rigorous tests in life to help us become stronger so we can endure in the battles of life that we face. It teaches discipline. It teaches teamwork and teaches trust and commitment. Spiritually speaking, am I in shape to face the hardness of the Christian life? You know, I had to think, another thing that helps us to grow in our Christian lives is spiritual exercise. And we get spiritual exercise in various ways. One way we get spiritual exercise is by sitting down and reading our Bible and praying. But another way that we get spiritual exercise is by reaching out and ministering to other people, just by trying to help others. It can do more for us than we maybe it does for them, just by getting involved in other people's lives. Spiritual exercise, it helps us become strong. I don't know this morning what battles you are fighting in your life, but be strong and courageous, because fighting the battles of life can become discouraging. It can become wearisome to us, and it takes a lot of patient endurance. So keep on keeping on. Another aspect is keeping the high morale of the soldiers. If you want a successful army, you need to keep the high morale of the soldiers. How can you do that? Well, one way is through consistent leadership. Another way is through clear communication, making it clear what is expected. And also by strong moral support of fellow soldiers. And I think all three of those are very applicable and very important for the Christian life. We need strong leadership, we need clear communication, and we need strong moral support amongst us as soldiers if we're going to be victorious. And I appreciate the sharing that you had this morning. You know, you sit around in a circle and you talk about prayer requests and needs in your own life and needs in the lives of others. And that's what we're here for, brothers and sisters. We're here to help each other. We're here to encourage each other, to wrap our arms around each other and say, brother, sister, how can I help you? Because we're all soldiers, and sometimes we become wearied in the work, in the battles, in the fight, and we need each other to encourage us. And let's be faithful in doing that. And I'm sure you did, you know, just like when Donnie was in the hospital. I wasn't involved in the congregation, but I heard about it, and I was like, wow, Donnie's just a young man. He has pneumonia. That's not good. And I prayed for him, and that's what we're here for. We're here to support our fellow soldiers. Well, the third aspect I'd like to look at for a good soldier is a focused soldier. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself, that's sort of a big word, entangleth himself, with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Did you ever think about it? That a soldier in the U.S. Army, I don't know of any U.S. soldiers that work another job or have their own business. You know, that is their career. They're a soldier. That's a 24/7 job. And they don't get involved with civilian duties and responsibilities because they're a soldier. And I had to think about that. You know, it's easily, as Christian soldiers, we can easily get distracted because of other things that we have in our life, even good things. And so we need to stay focused. We're talking about a focused soldier. I just wrote down a few things that could help us, that may distract us as we are trying to stay focused on serving God's kingdom and promoting God's kingdom. One thing is I wrote down is political involvements. You know, we just recently came through the elections and all the hype that went with that. And I have to admit, it was hard not to get emotionally involved in that. And yet that can be a distraction, you know, from what Christ said, our kingdom is of this world, not of this world, but our kingdom is of eternal world. And that we wouldn't get distracted by things like that. Maybe it's being overburdened with earthly material pursuits. I talked with one man, and he told me that he has 4 jobs. Now, maybe some of us have different things going. I know we do this and we do that. But how many jobs can we really do fairly and well? Or we get too spaced out, or maybe we don't do anything like we should. But as a soldier, let's stay focused. Let's not have too many distractions. Even earthly pursuits, which are good, can distract us from our purpose in life. I also wrote down, wrapped up in social media, news, and sports. And we all know how it is in our age of technology. It's so easy to get our curiosity. We just look, what's happening around the world? And that can be interesting and beneficial, but it can be a distraction from our responsibility to be a good soldier. I would like to just think of a few things that a soldier should be focused on. Number one, the sound of the commander's voice. In John 10, Jesus talked about how he is the good shepherd and how that we are his sheep in the sheepfold. It's a beautiful story. But we need to be focused on the sound of our commander's voice or the shepherd's voice. There in John, Jesus confirms that his children know his voice and they do not mistake the call of a stranger. You know, there could be, as Christians, as we are in this battle, there's a lot of voices out there, and we need to know the true voice of the shepherd or our master. Someone that you know well, you recognize their voice. Isn't that true? The people that you know the best in your life are the people that you recognize their voice the best. You know, it's even amazing how animals learn to know the voice of their master. I was amazed. We had some sheep at our place, and the last few years we've had lambs that needed to be bottle fed, and my youngest daughter enjoys bottle feeding lambs, and she really connects with them, and they know her voice. Even after they're an adult sheep, we have some adult sheep at home that were bottle fed, and she goes in the barn and calls them by name, and they come running right to her. Animals know the voice of their master. How well do we know the voice of our master when he calls us? When he gives direction into my life, do I hear it and do I respond? At the same time, there's a lot of voices around us that are not the true master. It's the enemy or an antichrist voice that we need to understand whose voices they are. We understand, we stay focused on knowing our master's voice because it says he leadeth us by his voice. And so we should be focused on that. The second thing we should be focused on is the strategy of our enemy. The good soldier knows the enemy is ever active and never rest. He comes at us in various ways. Colossians 11:14 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." So Satan can come at us as an angel of light. It looks good, but it's not genuine. It's so important to know the word and to know the truth. It also says in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." So on one side you have an angel of light, and on another side you have a roaring lion. Satan can come at us in either way, and he doesn't really care, whichever way he can get us to trip up. Any way he can get us. A good soldier understands his own weakness and fortifies himself so that he can withstand Satan's attacks. In response, he not only strengthens himself, but he learns from the enemy's strategy and goes on the offensive. In physical warfare, you read about new offensives. You read about times when the army will focus on a new offensive where they can push back the opposing army. They will, by special planning and fresh resources and a counterattack, they will try to push the opposing army back. And I wonder sometimes if too often, maybe in our spiritual battles, we are trying to fight without sufficient support, and we end up being on the defensive, where we're getting pushed back, where we should, God wants us to be on the offensive, and gaining ground, moving forward, and making progress as we fight life's battles. That brings me to the third thing we need to focus on, and that is the how to effectively use the weapons of our warfare. We read earlier that our warfare is not carnal but spiritual. You can turn with me to Ephesians 6, and read a few verses. This is where it has the armor of the Christian. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of the faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So here he gives us the Christian's armor. And I think it's important that we know how important each part of the armor is as we fight the battles of life. The first one we notice is in verse 14. "Our loins girt about with truth." Now, the ancient soldier's waist was girt about with a leather belt, which held most of the other pieces of armor in place. It was a big, wide leather belt, and that held the breastplate in place. And here he's saying that we need to have our loins girt about with truth. Truth. Well, we talked about this morning some about truth. Truth is so important that our life, that our life is a life of truth, and that we endorse truth, and that we have truth wrapped around us. I guess I see it that way. For as protection, our loins girt about with truth, having that big wide belt that supports the rest of our armor, and that is truth. And so we can ask ourselves the question this morning: do I love truth? Do I live it? Do I embrace it and defend it? The next part of the armor was the breastplate of righteousness. And the breastplate was the big piece of armor that covered the chest area. That protected the vitals. That was a very important piece, the breastplate of righteousness. And could we say that that represents a holy character and moral conduct? It's obedience to known truth. It's a life of righteousness. A godly life equals a life of righteousness, and that covers our vital areas. So important against the onslaughts of Satan that we are living a godly life. Living godlike and godlikeness. The third piece of armor was in verse 16, the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that the Roman soldiers wore a special sandal, and I believe it was called a calage. And those sandals were made in such a way that it enabled him to advance against the enemy. It gave him protection on his feet. So how can the preparation of the gospel of peace help us to advance against the enemy of our soul? Well, I think it speaks of eagerness that comes from receiving the gospel. As we have the gospel in our life, as we have accepted the gospel, as we embrace the gospel, it helps us to advance against the devil and the evil one. Only the gospel gives the Christian this sense of peace and confidence. You know, as the physical soldier had that hardy pair of leather sandals on, it gave him confidence that he could advance against the enemy. And we have that same confidence with the gospel in our lives. Preparation of the gospel of peace. And then the next one is the shield of faith. Thinking of a shield, you think of that armor that you can move around and deflect the arrows of the enemy. Well, it says that our shield is a shield of faith. Faith. How strong is your faith this morning? Is your faith strong enough in God that it protects you from the attacks of the evil one? I believe that's what faith can do for us. By taking God at his word and believing his promises. We have faith in God's word and his promises, and that gives us confidence to face the battles of life. And when Satan sends his arrows flying at us, we can deflect them with the shield of faith. The next one he talks about is the helmet of salvation. Thinking about putting a helmet on your head, something to protect your head. The helmet of salvation, or the hope of salvation. The writer is referring to the Christian's hope or assurance of salvation. You think about that this morning. How important is assurance of salvation? Well, it's very important because as we have assurance of salvation, it protects us against those darts of doubt that Satan wants to throw into our life. We have the helmet of salvation, assurance of salvation. Satan wants to say, well, you know, you're not really a Christian. You're not good enough. You failed in your Christian life. You know, he brings all those things to us. And maybe they are true, but we have asked forgiveness and we have cleansed ourselves from those sins. And yet he still wants to bring doubt into our hearts. Well, we have the helmet of salvation. The next one is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Well, he tells us what that is. The sword is the word of God. So we need to take God's word. And we need to hide it in our hearts. It's a powerful weapon against the attacks of Satan. And I think that's one thing, is memorizing God's word and knowing what it says, that when Satan says, yea, hath God said, or when Satan brings doubts, that we can answer him like Jesus did and say, but the word of God says this, and this is the promise that I read in God's word. I claim that for my life. And the last one, last but not least, it says praying always. That line of communication with God is probably the most vital connection that we have for our spiritual warfare. Praying always. Prayer is the connection to our all-powerful commander, Jesus. In the Bible, it talks about praying without ceasing. Did you ever wonder how you can do that, pray without ceasing? I mean, we work, we drive down the road, we have a lot of activities. And one time someone explained it this way, and I liked it. You know, if you have some of you were struggling with coughs, a cough here. If you have like a consistent, not a consistent, an ongoing cough, it always feels like a cough isn't very far away. It's just there, and soon it comes out. They said that's how praying without ceasing is. It don't mean that you're always praying, but you are. It's very easy to go into prayer mode. You do it just automatically as soon as you need to. And I like that explanation, praying always. No, we're not always praying. But even when you're driving down the road and you think something about a need in your life or a need in someone else's life, or, you know, I have youth. I think about them out on the road. Oh, my. Son or daughter's going up to Harrisburg. That's bad traffic. You know, they're going here, there. You just pray for them real quick, and you do it while you're doing your work or wherever you're at. Praying without ceasing. It's that connection that we have with Jesus that we can pray whenever we feel the need or whenever we are led to pray. A powerful tool. Praying without ceasing. That's our vital connection to Jesus, that prayer connection. And reading a little bit about the current war in Ukraine, I was impressed with the whole aspect of maintaining communication among troops and their leaders. That's very important. And then they have this thing called communication jamming, where the opposing army will try to jam your communication lines, because if they can jam them, then you no longer have a connection between the leader and the troops. And that's how the enemy works. He wants to jam our communication. But I found it interesting, and you probably read this too, but back in 2020, Elon Musk founded Starlink, and he took that over to Ukraine and gave it to the Ukrainian army. So even though the Russians were jamming their communication lines with Starlink, it brought the return of a broadband data connectivity to the darkened swaths of embattled Ukraine. And then with Starlink, they now had an information lifeline from anything from hospitals to operating drones to any kind of internet connection they needed to have connection between people was brought back online because of the Starlink. It was an invaluable source to the Ukrainians because now they could communicate. And you know what? Let me never forget that's the most important thing in my life, is to be connected with Jesus and have that connection all times. Because if the enemy jams that communication, then we're lost. We're on our own, and we don't have that valuable source of communication with Jesus. So it is in our spiritual battles of life. Well, the fourth area I want to look at, as far as a good soldier, he's a finisher. Paul's testimony, very familiar testimony in 2 Timothy 4, says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. That was a wonderful testimony. And I trust that's the testimony of each one of us as we get to the end of life, that we can say like Paul, we have fought a good fight, we have kept the faith, and we have finished our course. A good soldier of Jesus Christ has resolve. He knows the battles of life won't be over in a day or two. He doesn't quit at the first hint of trouble, but he will stay in it for the long haul. And I had to think again of natural warfare, like the conflict in Ukraine. That's been going on for, almost 3 years. That becomes wearisome. I'm sure the soldiers on both sides wonder, when will this ever end? But as a soldier of Jesus Christ, we know that the battle won't just be for a day or two, but we were in it for the long haul, and we, by Christ's help, we will finish. Only God can give us that attitude and determination to be a finisher. But a good soldier has a reason to endure to the end, because Jesus, our commander-in-chief, endured to the end. He was our example. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was a finisher. He finished it. He went the whole way to the cross, and he was victorious. And he rose again, and today he's at the right hand of the Father. Praise God. And Jesus' high priestly prayer, he says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. A good soldier keeps an eye on the reward at the end of the battles of life. A good soldier finishes because he knows that every sacrifice of commitment and faithfulness will be rewarded someday. Jesus will reward us if we are faithful. For those who stay in the battle, there will come a day of glad blessings. A day when every faithful soldier of Jesus will hear those words of commendation. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I trust that each one of us can hear those words at the end of our life. Are you a good soldier of the Lord this morning? Are you fighting the battles? Are you courageous? There's this slogan or motto that the U.S. Marines have, and you may have heard of it. It's Semper Fi. It means always faithful. Semper Fi, always faithful. May you, each one of us, as we go through this coming week and through the rest of our lives, always be faithful, Semper Fi. And let's encourage one another. We need each other. And let's not become discouraged by Satan's attacks on our life or on the church. But together we can each make it. Let's kneel for a closing prayer.